11 minutes past 9 o'clock and it's the Wellbeing Window on Riviera Radio with Riviera Wellbeing, and UK psychotherapist Gavin Sharp is with me live in the studio. Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited to be here and happy. So, yeah, I'm starting with some feelings in the spirit of our show today.
Well, before we get onto the theme, which is emotional well-being, maybe you could remind listeners about the Good Life event on the 15th of October. What is it, and are there still tickets available?
So, thank you. The Good Life is an opportunity for us to get together as a community here in the Riviera and to talk about mental health, to talk about well-being. You know, I think the pandemic on some level changed all of us in ways that we probably still don't know, and in ways that we're still finding out. So we decided to get together with the team at Riviera Radio. We approached for three local companies to see if they were interested in sponsoring us. I'm delighted to say that thanks to Blevins Franks, to Savills, to Metabolic Balance, and a Swiss clinic called Clinic Les Alpes, we were able to put it together. So we're going to have a day from 10 till 5. We're going to have some fun. We're going to share some info. You're there to help us out, which we are very grateful for. And we're there to figure out, what's a good life? What is it I want out of life? So that's what it's about. We are now on waitlist only. So just demand just went through the roof over the last 7 days. So if you're interested to get tickets, then do call us. There's a number at the Riviera Wellbeing website, and we are waitlisting people. So hopefully some spaces will open up over the next few days.
So that's on the 15th of October at the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. Finding out what the good life is. Now, we're talking about emotional well-being. What is emotional well-being, and is it connected at all to the good life? The two go hand in hand.
Yes, they do, because I think if our inner worlds, if our emotions are, if I'm disconnected from my emotions, then my life is going to feel out of balance, out of kilter. So I often refer to emotional well-being as emotional resilience, which is, you know, can I meet life's challenges? Am I able to manage stress or pain? Am I aware of my feelings? Do I understand my feelings? And the reason why it's connected to the good life is that if I'm not emotionally well, here's the mind-body connection, then it's going to impact my immune system. You know, if I can't manage or hold, let's say, my stress, then I'm going to develop hypertension. That's going to have an effect on my blood pressure. It's going to impact the ability for me to show up in my relationships. So this is why therapists often ask that really annoying and cliched question, how does that make you feel? And there's a reason why we ask it, because if we're disconnected from those emotions, we're disconnected from life.
So when you ask how does it feel, are emotions and feelings the same thing?
This is where we get into quite a complex area, both for me, for other therapists, and all of us. We use the terms interchangeably, but crucially, they're not the same thing. So emotions are what I often term as the raw data. So it's not something which is conscious, and it's typically a sensation in my body. So something happens in the external environment, and actually there's a neurological response in my brain. So I would say, and I would say there are probably 8 core emotions. So, you know, we often say my gut instinct, and I will often say to clients, no matter what trauma they've gone through, no matter what, where they're in their life, I will often say, trust your gut. Because what they're saying is there's this feeling somewhere in my body, there's this lightness, this heaviness, this pain. So that's the emotion bit. It's not conscious, it's something in the body. The feelings is how I analyze. What meaning do I give to what's happening in my body? So, and there I might interpret it. I might, based on past experiences. So there's the emotion, which is the response to something external, and then I actually start to make sense of it. Then it becomes conscious. So I would say that when we say trust your emotion, trust your gut, that's because it's a really accurate reflection of what's going on in your life. So sometimes a client will sit there and they'll share something with me that's really painful, and then they'll smile. And I'll say, it's interesting because I feel quite sad by the story, but you're laughing or smiling, and I'm wondering about that disconnect. And so what I'm inviting them to do is get in touch with what's really happening in your body. So that's, I guess, the difference. So just before the break, I was giving you this example of when I arrived this morning. So anyone who didn't hear this before, Sarah was ecstatic and she was joyful when she saw me. She was actually jumping up and down. So what I asked in the quiz is, what's come first? So Sarah spotted me. She was absolutely excited. So there's this probably this light sensation in her body. Go with me, Sarah. Keep going with me. Yes. Okay. So there's this light sensation in her body. She felt elated. And then she thought, I'm so happy to see, I love seeing Gavin. He never lets me down. He's my hero. And I said, which of those comes first? Was it your thought, Gavin's my hero? Was it the elation, or was it the sensation in your body? And I would, I can't do this with Sarah. She just picked
none of them. So, no, go on, keep going.
Hypothetically, had that scenario, had she not shut the door on me, hypothetically, on that scenario, what happened first was the emotion, was the sensation in your body. Had you had that joy, that's the emotion. So there's the physicality of it. The emotion is the joy. And then because we have a past history, there's a context for the emotion and feeling. And it's just, okay, I like Gavin because he's usually nice or whatever, and that then the thought comes. And we spend way too long in our heads. We spend way too long with our in our heads and not somatically, not thinking about our bodies.
Well, you mentioned trusting your gut instinct. Is trust not one of the eight emotions?
I would say no. I would say that the trust is important, but actually, so the eight emotions, and again, this is controversial because different therapists will give you sort of different descriptions. I go by Pia Melody, and she came up with eight basic emotions, and it's anger, fear, pain, joy, passion, love, shame, and guilt. And another way to think about this is those are the parent emotions. And then the child emotion. So underneath anger, there's frustration, there's irritation. So when a client comes in and I sense that they're frustrated, I want to direct them, if they can reach what's the core emotion? You said you're frustrated. I'm wondering what else is happening? And then we'll get to, actually, I'm angry. And then we feel in tune with ourselves because we're connecting to the core emotion.
So when you mention the thoughts and the emotions, if, for example, you say you're told to control your emotions, and surely that's a thought that comes first for you to be able to do that.
I think it's being in touch first with, I've got this, I'm aware of what's happening in my body, I'm aware of the interpretation I'm making. So let's say it's anger. So let's say, actually, your response to me today was, it's Gavin again. I'm so irritated because he hasn't sent me anything and I don't know what's happening and he's always annoying. Actually, first you need to be aware of, I'm irritated at the sight of Gavin. This is even harder to believe than the joy. I'm irritated at the sight of Gavin. I'm angry. And the thought is, but I'm going to control myself because I'm about to go on air. So that's where the controlling comes in. But what we don't ever want to do is suppress the emotion, because then I don't know. I'm more likely to lose control when I see Gavin if I'm angry.
Okay, and what about when you mentioned the eight emotions, but for example, like joy seems to be, you'd rather be joyful than maybe sad, but because who wants to be sad? But when you think like this, the first problem surely is that joy and sadness, do they not have quite a lot in common? In that you can, joy means I get something I care about, and sadness would mean that I lose something I care about. So the two sides have the same need, or there's not one without the other?
I think that's right. I think the eight emotions coexist, and I can't know joy without knowing pain or sadness. And I think and it's interesting, because what we sort of grow up learning for some reason is, I don't want to feel the negative ones. I don't want to feel, often because it was so overwhelming in childhood, if there was pain or there was fear, or maybe anger wasn't allowed, didn't have a voice growing up. So somehow we tell ourselves, I'm doing really well, Gavin, because I haven't felt angry for a while. And actually, the goal is that it's not a light switch. I can't turn some on and some off. If I reduce my capacity to feel fear, I will reduce my capacity to feel joy, because actually I'm diminishing my ability to feel all my emotions. So sometimes I'm actually wanting clients to embrace the anger, bring it here. And it's like, well, I'll bring the sadness here. No, I can't, because I'll be depressed again. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. And it's just recognizing that these emotions, they have an evolutionary reason, which is basically to keep us alive. So way back in dinosaur age, fear was pretty important, because if the dinosaur was right behind me, I needed to know I'm fearful for my fight or flight response to get triggered. So if you think about anger tells me that a boundary's been crossed. I need to do something about it. Anger's a very motivating emotion. Why would I ever want to be disconnected from my anger?
Okay, well, moving on to the questions. Good morning to, I won't mention any names. It says, hi, Sarah and Gavin.
Mention my name.
What do you do when a teenage boy has one emotion? Fine. Everything is fine or okay. Infuriating at times. How do I get through to him? Maybe it's I'm not bothered. The fine.
Do I look bothered? It's very teenager, isn't it? What I say to people when they say fine is, we often say fine, there's this acronym for, fine stands for feelings inside not expressed. So when you ask how someone is and they say, I'm fine, of course in day-to-day you meet someone, how are you? I'm fine, I'm okay. But sometimes with our partners, with our children, we actually really want to know how they are. And so I think I would encourage them to say, okay, go deeper. Sometimes I'll say, actually, print off a feelings chart and give it to your child, some of the basic emotions. So there's these great things, these feeling wills. And just ask them to take a look at this and tell me where you are. Because fine and okay really is teenagery. But actually, we want to teach our kids to have a broader emotional vocabulary.
I hope that answers your question. But Gavin, can you not just be fine? Can you not, if you say, do you think it's because the fine is kind of associated to being a bit, vague? But can you not just say, I feel fine?
Yes, I think on a superficial level. So again, when we greeted each other today, we might have said, how are you? I'm fine. But ultimately, if fine is the only emotion, so if the teenager is giving it every single time, how was your day at school? Mm. Fine, how are you feeling? Then actually, what we're not doing is connect, because it's not a core emotion. So it gives me some information, but basically everything's okay. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling content. I would prefer the word content or happy, because it's just giving me a bit more information. So yes, on a superficial level, then fine is acceptable. But with my partner and with my children, I want a bit more information. And also, I may not know what's going on inside of me. And sometimes when we pause, sometimes a client will come into a therapy session and then later they'll say, actually, I didn't realize how lonely I felt. It's only now that we're talking about it, because when they started the session, they might have said, fine. And then I'll ask them what's happening in their body, or we'll just go off on this kind of weird path that we do in therapy, and suddenly they're in touch with the basic emotions.
Okay. Just remember that in French, though, you have to say ça va, because it was introduced, it meant that when you said ça va, it meant that you didn't have the plague. So you could just say, I'm fine, thank you very much. It was a way of saying that you didn't have the plague. Moving on
maybe
to one more...
itchy meal.
One more question before the news, sport and weather. Good morning, Riviera Radio, from sunny Lisbon, where we listen to you and Gavin. My question is, sometimes I feel on top of the world with my husband and everything is as great as it possibly could be. And then the very next moment, I will have doubts and frustrations for sometimes no reason, or the only the reason I can see, and not him. He can't see the reason, so you can see the reasons, but he can't. Do our emotions and feelings get triggered more from people we feel closer than others to? I only ever feel that way, hot then cold, when I'm affected by his actions. So I think what she's asking here is that, is it her husband's actions that are making, triggering her emotions that apparently go quite hot and cold?
Well, I think it's complex, because I think that it's her response to the external stimuli, i.e. the husband's behavior. So I think that, you know, when we start off, when we say, what's emotional well-being? Emotional well-being is my ability to self-regulate. So my ability to be able to say, I feel some embarrassment, I feel some shame over what you said, or I'm feeling a lot of warmth towards you, or so. But if I'm overwhelmed, so those ups and downs suggest to me that actually what I'm not really able to do is slow my nervous system down, connect to what's the basic emotion. So if I don't know what the emotion is and it's overwhelming me, I need to slow myself down, connect to it, and then have the courage to be vulnerable to communicate it.
Okay, and because I don't know whether I made that quite clear, the end of it, she says, so do our emotions and feelings get triggered more from people we feel closer to than others?
I think the triggers from the external stimuli will be different. So if I say to you, when you ask me how I am, I say, yeah, I'm fine, and I sort of brush you off, you're not going to have the same feeling as if you speak to Charlotte, your daughter, today and say, how are you? And she brushes you off. So your response, and this is why feelings are an interpretation of the emotion. So the emotion that you would have had, the irritation that you would have felt from me brushing you off, is going to be different to the irritation from your daughter. So yes, there's a context.
Okay, Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing, taking your questions between now and 10 o'clock. Emotional Wellbeing Studio at Riviera Radio .mc. If you have a question for Gavin Sharp. The Four English Breakfast. Good morning, if you just join me, it's just coming up to 20 to 10. Gavin Sharp is with me. We're discussing emotions, Riviera Wellbeing. It's the Wellbeing Window, first Wednesday of every month on Riviera Radio. And psychotherapist Gavin Sharp is here. And we've got a few questions to get through, quite a few questions to get through between now and 10 o'clock. So we're going to move on swiftly, Gavin. This has just come in. Hi, Sarah. My father has never been great with feelings. Maybe it was generational. Now I see a similar trait in my partner. He spends his life inside his head. How can I help him be more connected to his emotions? I want my daughter to understand the need for healthy emotions. P.S. She isn't born yet.
It's good thinking ahead. So the partner's not in touch with their emotions. So I would suggest, I'd suggest two things. One is definitely print off one of the feelings wheels that you get off the internet, stick it on the fridge, is what I tell people, and when you get the fine or the okay, so you know what, honey, help me understand, where are you on this Where are you on the feeling well? But there's three steps that you can do to help you identify and express what you're feeling. So number one, ask your partner to pause, ask them, show them the list and say, what are you feeling now? That's step one. And it can also be, where are you feeling it? Because for example, you know, if it's fear, it's often stomach and upper chest. If it's, you know, love or warmth, it's in the heart. So it helps us make this connection between mind and body. So what are you feeling? Where are you feeling it? What's happening for you? What's the context? Because we want to link these things together. And then finally, and what's the need? So let me give you an example. An example would be, what are you feeling? I feel fearful. What's the context? Well, I've got a, and I'm feeling it in this tingling in my stomach. What's the context? Well, I'm nervous about a presentation at work today. What is it you need? I think I need a hug. So if we just go through those three steps, what are you feeling? What's the context and what do you need? We begin to work out A, how to express ourselves and B, what we need.
Well, you just mentioned the wheel, didn't you, at the beginning of that? And listeners written in here saying, hi, Gavin and Sarah. My husband came to see you and you gave him a feelings wheel and I put it on top of the fridge door. It became a family routine every night that we all had to name our feelings. It was brilliant. In the spirit of naming emotions, I am so, so grateful.
Fantastic.
So
I love, yeah, love to hear that. Those feelings, there's so many of them. Just Google feelings wheels, emotion wheels, and have fun with them.
Now, every emotion obviously has a purpose. So if someone isn't in touch with their emotions, a bit like the teenager mentioned earlier on, or just keeps saying, I'm fine, can this lead to other illnesses such as mental illness or addiction?
Yes, it can. I think it's a really common cause that the more we are disconnected from ourselves, the more we're disconnected from our partners, the more we're disconnected from life. And as I said before, if I don't know what I'm feeling, I can't get my needs met. So, and if that goes on for a long period of time, so now you imagine that going on for years, for example, I'm losing touch with myself. And if I'm not getting my needs met, there's an anger that's building up. And most addictions is about anger. Most addicts, I often say this, they're not trying to, I've said this before on the radio, addicts are not trying to feel more by the cocaine or the sex or whatever it is. They're trying to feel less. They don't know how to process and regulate their emotions. And we get so obsessed with thought. You know, when I ask that question in the therapy session, I say to someone, so what do you feel? And they say, I think. And I say, well, it's a thought. What do you feel? And they say, well, I think. And then I'll repeat it. And we do this for about 5 minutes. And then eventually they say, well, now I'm getting angry because you keep asking me the same question. I'm like, okay. And there's the emotion. We have anger. So we're not born thinking. You know, we're not born with an operating thinking brain. That doesn't come online until we're about 12 years old, but we are born with the emotions. And that's why, it's a really dry topic. I can almost feel as I'm saying it, people falling asleep in the cornflakes. But this is really important because if I lose touch with my emotions, I'm losing touch with life itself.
Mm, okay, another question here, a bit tongue-in-cheek. But this is a question for Gavin. Is Liz Truss in touch with her emotions? One really wonders.
This is like the one we had on Boris Johnson.
Yes.
What is she in touch?
With her emotions. So obviously everybody has emotions, but I guess that's another question. Can you have all these emotions and I guess it's recognizing them and being in touch with your emotions?
You know what's really frustrating with politicians, I think for all of us, is that, and you could argue about this in the corporate world and about business leaders, is that for some reason, we learn that this isn't appropriate. We shouldn't show emotions in the corporate world. Politicians mustn't show emotions or vulnerability. You know, wouldn't it be fantastic if Liz Truss had come on television yesterday and said, I am really embarrassed by what's happened. I regret not approaching the cabinet. And I'm fearful that the electorate will punish me. And If she said that, I mean, forget whatever our politics may be, I would suddenly feel connected, which is what emotions do for us. They help us connect to each other. Because she'll have given me an insight into her inner world, and I would feel connected to her instead of the wooden, what we faced, 4 weeks ago when I became Prime Minister. Because then I fall asleep immediately.
But is it not quite a British thing to... does that not work with emotions where you don't show your emotions, it's stiff upper lip?
Yes, and I see in the therapy room every day British people who were grew up... Someone said in one of the questions, it's generational. So I think there was a general aspect, side to this that, kind of in the 50s and 60s and maybe to an extent the 70s, that stiff upper lip, don't show your emotions. So there is a cultural element. Some of these kids, many of them went to boarding school, and then they show up really miserable or as workaholics or as addicts, because what they learned is, no, you mustn't be fearful, you mustn't be angry. And as I said before, that means I'm not going to be joyful. That means I'm not going to feel love, because I cannot choose which emotions to feel.
So is it a question of really being able to control your emotions and being aware of them? Because there must be a cutoff point. It's like a lot of these things. There must be a point where you surely have to say, okay, I can do this. I have that emotion. When I'm feeling fine, I'm feeling fine. Or when I'm feeling sad, where's the cutoff point where you can say, okay, I can control my emotions. It's good to have emotions. But you can't be constantly... I mean, if everybody was showing their emotions all the time, nobody would get anything done.
Well, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. There's a context for it. So there's no point us all, every minute of the day, if I say to you, good morning, how are you? And you say, I'm fine. And I say, well, that's not good enough. I would like a 45 minute explanation. Of course, there's about a context. But
yeah.
I, as a healthy human being, I want to be in touch with how I'm feeling. And I also want to take some chances. I want to be authentic. I want to be vulnerable. Mm. And I want to share that with you. And yes, I need to be able to control it. So if I am angry because of something that's happened between us, there's a difference between saying, Sarah, I feel angry that my headphones weren't working. Not really, it happens. Or my headphones weren't working earlier. Or if I had then taken the headphones and thrown them against the window or the door, that's a display of anger. That's not healthy. But sharing with you the anger or me being aware of it, that's healthy.
Yeah, so it's about controlling your emotions too. It goes hand in hand. And what about with moods then? How does a mood fit into all of this? For example, if you were to just throw them across the floor, I could say, oh, well, he's just having an episode, or he's a bit moody today, or how does that work?
Gavin,
emotions?
He's always throwing things around the studio, and last time he threw them.
Somebody else did, but it wasn't you. Not mentioning any names.
Tell me when we're off air. I think that moods... So an emotion, the anger, actually is often very short-lived. So the emotion can but maybe only last for a few seconds. Moods come on more gradually and they last longer. And again, being emotionally healthy doesn't mean being happy all of the time. So the emotion might be, I'm sad, or I'm in pain, or I'm disappointed. That's my feeling. I'm disappointed, disillusioned that my headphones didn't work. The mood is kind of, I'm feeling a bit low. And it's just, so the mood sort of, they're all overlapping. And that's why I said to you, it's a bit dry, but it is important to recognize if we can, the difference. So the mood just tends to linger a bit longer. It's that sort of, I'm feeling a bit down. But even when I'm in that mood, I then want to track it back to, I wonder what's happening. I wonder what's happening in my body. I wonder which one of my core emotions is being released in my body.
So would you maybe have the mood because you're not in contact with your emotions?
Could be either. It
right.
could be, there are days when I feel a bit, all of us do, but, because of personal experience, there might be a day where I feel a bit disconnected from myself. So what I might do is I might go for a walk, and then I'll do that three-stage example that I gave, which is, I wonder what's happening for me, and I'm thinking, I remember, I was a bit annoyed with Sarah. I don't know why I keep picking on you, Sarah, but, you know. there's no one else here, so it's got to be you. So I'm a bit angry with Sarah. Yes, I think that's what it is. So I will track it back. So the disconnection is I don't feel very grounded. I'm not really aware of what's happening for me. And so I'll want to try to find the context. By the way, I'm not being self-critical. I'm allowing myself whatever it is that's happening. So rather than just saying, I mustn't be angry, I mustn't be disconnected, I'm just curious. I wonder why I don't really feel connected to my partner today. I wonder why I'm not really feeling joyful. But if I don't have the healthy curiosity, actually, I might behave in a way that is, in a way that then I regret because I'm not in touch with my emotions.
Okay, and that disconnected, can that be, what do you mean? I mean, could it also be associated with somebody if you said they were emotionally unavailable? Is that the same thing or is that completely different?
I think different. I think the behavior is that, let's say I catch myself throwing the headphones against the door, the chances are it's not just about that. So the disconnect is, whoa, what's actually going on for you, Gavin? Because, okay, the headphones didn't work. Not sure that's an appropriate response. I think when we say someone's emotionally available, it's kind of code for don't date them.
Unavailable.
Unavailable. We want emotionally available people. Unavailable is someone who can't read you what we've been talking about.
Someone who's fine.
Has difficulty expressing their feelings and interpreting their emotions. And emotionally unavailable people are really hard to be around. But let's go back to the politician's example. They may well be emotionally connected, but we can't see it. So we just get these wooden characters that are appearing on television. So I can't feel any connection. Imagine that is Liz Truss's persona, and I've no idea, and she's not a client, obviously, but imagine that is her persona, that her husband says, honey, I've made your favorite dinner, and she says, well, what I really think is important about dinners, and it's like, come on, give me something here. Where's the emotional connection?
Okay, well, as usual, we've run out of time already, but can we just end on, can we improve our emotional well-being?
Yes, I think we can. I think that if we can practice acknowledging the emotions, if we can give them permission, doesn't matter whether it's sadness, it's anger, it's jealousy, it is what it is. So I give myself permission to feel it. I breathe more when I'm overwhelmed. And then I find a safe place to release the emotions. So I might need to go home and say, I think I need to cry. So no critiquing, I'm acknowledging them and I'm giving them permission.
Well, thank you very, very much. UK psychotherapist Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. How can people get in contact with you?
Carrier pigeon. No, they can go to the website to rivierawellbeing.com. They can email me, gavin@rivierawellbeing.com, and all the information is there.
And not to forget The Good Life on October the 15th at the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. Tickets still available?
Wait list. Hang in there. If you're still interested, please register. And over the next day or two, we'll confirm if there's room. But we're pretty much at capacity.
Okay, and next month, what's it going to be?
Oh my goodness, next month, I think I might do something around healthy boundaries. How do we share with people around us what's acceptable and not acceptable? So when we've got all these emotions and we've got all these needs,
anything goes.
How do we communicate that to friends and family?
Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For property services in Monaco, across the Côte d'Azur and throughout the French Alps, contact Savills, the local property experts with a truly international reach. Think property, think Savills.